May only the truth be spoken here and only the truth received. Amen. A few weeks before the birth of our first child, my wife and I headed to our lawyer to have our wills drawn up. We were in our 30s and had very little in the way of accumulated assets, but we wanted to be sure that the interests of our soon-to-be-born were to be looked after. And we wanted to be certain that any of our few personal items of interest could be set aside for loved ones in the event of something misfortunate. Having a will drawn up is no big deal, and yet surprisingly only 50% of Canadians have one. In fact, most Canadians are hardly aware of the need to get one and only do so when faced with an overseas trip or unexpected illness. And yet, if a person in Ontario dies without one, the current law will determine who will receive any assets and the amount of any inheritance. The distribution of assets may not necessarily coincide with the wishes of the deceased. For example, no gifts will be made to friends or to the church or to a favorite charity, no matter how much it may have meant to an individual over the course of their life. By making a will, an individual can choose their own beneficiaries based on existing and potential financial needs as well as that relationship. And family heirlooms and items of sentimental value can be given in a will to specifically named beneficiaries, thus avoiding conflict among family members. Following the birth of our third child, we had our wills drawn up again, making specific provisions for each child. And in time, as our children outgrow the need for guardians, we will revisit our will again, making larger gifts to the church and to our favorite charities. As Anglicans, we are inheritors of a tradition rich in worship, sacraments, fellowship, and service to each other and beyond our faith communities. Throughout the history of the Anglican Church, each generation receives the gospel tradition and is called to steward it for a period of time and then pass it on to generations that follow. Together, we have built churches and schools and funded social service outreach. We have a tradition of providing for current and future generations. We are all familiar with the gifts we give to the church through our weekly offering, through pre-authorized giving, or to some other special offering or fundraiser. These gifts normally come from our current incomes. We are less familiar, however, with the many ways that we can give to the church and its ministry from the assets that we have accumulated over the course of our lifetimes, such as real estate, stock, life insurance. Gifts made from our accumulated assets are called legacy gifts, and they are a wonderful way that we can provide additional resources to expand the ministry of our church for generations to come. Legacy giving may seem like a relatively new concept for the church, and yet it is as old as the church itself. In the New Testament, Acts 4 tells the story of a man named Joseph, a native of Cyprus, who sells his land and gives the proceeds to the apostles for them to distribute as they see fit. The gift of land from Joseph's assets is what we would call a living legacy today. The apostles gave Joseph a new name, Barnabas, which means son of encouragement in Hebrew. The good news of legacy giving is that both you and I can be sons and daughters of encouragement through the gifts that we leave to the church from our assets. In fact, many of our churches today can boast that their very foundations were laid thanks to the benevolence of their parishioners. Consider the gift of Betty Jordan, whose legacy gift to the Anglican Church in 2004 allowed us to establish our website. Today, our website has one of the highest traffic flows of any denomination in Canada because of the resources we provide. And it is through our website that we can connect with volunteers and clergy alike. We've even used the website to broadcast Christmas and Easter services live from St. James Cathedral. Indeed, the parish of St. George on Young has benefited tremendously thanks to the generosity of numerous donors throughout the year. Across our churches, we see the names of those who gave generously found in stained glass, in tributes on the walls, and in the names of halls and various rooms. Their memories and lives live on in this place and perpetually support the good work that is done in our churches. Perhaps their example of giving will encourage others to expend their generosity in the same way. But I can almost hear you saying to yourself, well, that's all well and good, but this parish and the Diocesan website were both funded by large gifts by wealthy donors. I'm not wealthy. What on earth could I possibly offer in the service of the church? But consider this. One undesignated bequest of $50,000 will provide a bursary for a student studying at Trinity or Wycliffe College. And $5,000 will provide AIDS treatment to 50 patients a year in South Africa. Imagine the lives that can be touched and transformed by these sort of gifts. And then tell me you have nothing worth passing on. I urge you to make a will if you have not done so, or to review the one that you have. And when you do, please consider a gift to St. George's, to the diocese, or to FaithWorks. Even a person of modest means has a considerable estate when taking account one's real estate and insurance. And your gift will help continue the good work that has been laid in this place in the years before, enable new ministry to take place thanks to your generosity. I'd like to share with you the story of a priest friend of mine from a few years back. One week, Father Paul was beset by four funerals. To make the experience all the more daunting, these were people who were lifetime members of the congregation. They had been wardens, treasurers, members of the choir, and sidespeople. Four committed parishioners gone in a single week. But the experience was made all the more taxing when he learned some 3 months later that one of the members of his congregation who had passed away had left a gift of $100,000 to the Salvation Army. This is not meant to denigrate the work of the Salvation Army, for they do good work, but it also demonstrates often how parishioners overlook the very church in which they turn to for the rites of passage in their life, for moments of joy, and for those opportunities that mark new beginnings. I suspect part of the reason why the church gets overlooked is because we don't ask. Well, this morning, I am asking. Please give serious consideration how you can make a gift through your estate to support ministry in this place. Estate planning is something most people approach with apprehension because it forces us to deal with intimate matters of our life with lawyers, with financial planners, family members, and sometimes our clergy. It's not easy to talk about end-of-life issues when the very life we're talking about is our own. Grappling with matters related to estates inclines us to confront our own mortality, and for most of us, myself included, it is something we'd rather put off. But ultimately, we have to deal with the reality that life in this world will come to an end for each one of us. As Christians, we believe, however, that there is something beyond the here and now. And so planning for how a lifetime of dreams, hopes, and memories is properly distributed following our passing is an important part of the legacy that we leave behind. Our estates, properly planned and distributed, can generously provide for the next generation of families, friends, and church, and people who we may not ever have met, but who might have enjoyed our generosity had we been alive. Earlier on, I mentioned the importance of our weekly offering and made a difference between that and the gifts that we leave behind after we are gone. But the temporal needs of our church are important too. On a wall in the Diocesan Stewardship Office hangs an old placard from St. James Cathedral that reads, "All the seats in the church are free. The maintenance of the church depends on the free will offerings of the people." This brief statement should be considered by everyone as it strikes to the very heart of the relationship between each one of us and the important work being carried out in our parish community. The needs of the church, in fact, this very parish, depend entirely on the generosity of those who worship here. For too long, we as a church have made some poor assumptions about giving. We have assumed that people instinctively know what to give, that they have given enough, and that they don't need to be asked. But unless congregations like yourselves are informed of the time, talent, and treasure resources demands that are put on parishes, we may feel that the gift that we made in 1975 is just as good today. And we might overlook those opportunities to invite members to our church and newcomers to give generously to our ongoing ministry and capital needs. Each one of us is called to live out our lives as disciples and acknowledge that everything that we have, our talent, our wealth, our families, and all those things that we acquire are actually God's. We nurture and share God's gifts abundantly. We give generously and joyfully of all that we have, including our money, because we realize that we have already received the free gift of life and its accompanying benefits. This morning's gospel has a very powerful stewardship message, one that is particularly helpful given the current context. Jesus asks us to follow him, to make his message and commitments our priorities. He gently prods us and encourages us to embrace his model of life as our own model as well. A faithful steward hears this and allows her or himself to be used as a channel for Jesus in our own world. So what characteristic of Jesus are going to be seen by you and I? So what characteristics of Jesus are going to be seen by what you and I do and say? Through the gifts of the Creator, we build up character, integrity, and generosity. So stewardship is not simply a matter of faithful giving, but of faithful living. In response to the teaching of Christ, we submit our lives to the rule of God, to the lordship of Christ, and to the direction of the Holy Spirit, so that we may be the people that God wants us to be and have the lives God wants us to live. The Anglican community in the Diocese of Toronto has an extensive history of social outreach. Deeply committed to building communities of hope and compassion, the early clergy and lay people of the diocese joined together to build hospitals and schools, seeking not only to help their own congregation, but those beyond their own walls and beyond their own faith community. And this work continues to the present day. I am grateful for the foundation which those who have come before us have laid, and pray that our current generation will respond with the same energy and fervor. Amen.
Thank you, Peter, for your ministry and coming here today to share with us your thoughts and your reflections around the conversation of stewardship and life within the church and supporting it in any way we can, and especially through legacies. I said this at 8 o'clock, but it does remind me every time we have a diocesan resource person come into our parish life, it makes me grateful that we are part of a diocese that is bigger than ourselves. And I've talked to Peter and said how it's so easy to become isolated in our own corner. And this is the reminder that we are part of a bigger place, part of the Diocese of Toronto, the Anglican Church of Canada, and the Anglican Communion. And that we are very blessed in the resources that we have at our diocesan office. So thank you for that, Peter. This was also presented today as part of the Joyful Stewards and the Joyful Giving Stewardship Program that we have been entered into in the last year, which again is a gift of the diocese, for which we say thank you for including us as part of that. And one of the recommendations or things that we are asked to do is have a Sunday that focuses on legacy giving. And when we read that, I thought, what better time to think about that than the season of Easter, because we are blessed predominantly with a gift of faith that we celebrate during this Easter season, and what better time to reflect on how do we continue to live that faith even beyond our physical life here on earth. So thank you, Peter. Thank you for the reminders about stewardship and for that message of that we are all called to be part of the ministry that happens here and in supporting it in any way that we are able.